We'll probably take our last look at our text. If you remember, our text has been Genesis 19. And I kind of wrestle with the verses to read today, but I think for a review, we'll read verses 12 through 22, and then I'll try to quickly cover what we've gone over the past two or three weeks, and then finish up for today. So if you could find Genesis 19, we'll read verses 12 through 22. If you're able to stand, would you please do so? Genesis 19, beginning at verse 12. Now, by the way, we're going to we'll pick up our reading after the two angels have gone to Sodom, and they have warned Lot, and they have they visited Lot. The homosexuals in the community have come to that house, and they have stricken the homosexuals with blindness. Okay. And so we are picking up in verse 12, right after the angels have rescued Lot from the homosexuals that wanted to harm him, and they've stricken him with blindness. Verse 12. And the men speaking here are the two angels, all right? Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place." Verse 13. "For we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against this people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city." But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh, no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." Verse 21. He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I may not overthrow the city of which you have spoken." And finally, verse 22, "Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Father, thank you for your word, that you and your marvelous, the marvelous mystery of your will and way, you've preserved it for us. Thank you for helping us to understand not only what you say, but what you mean by what you say. And we ask you now to help us apply it to our lives so that we may live in a way that pleases you. This is our desire. This is our prayer. This is our plea. Meet us now in the scriptures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, then, quickly, I want to try to review what we have covered in the past 3 weeks. So, if you'll remember, we saw in verse 1 that Lot had become an effective worldly leader in Sodom, right? He was sitting in the gate. He was a leader there in Sodom. So he had lived in such a way that they respected him. It was a worldly respect, but they put him in leadership, okay? We also saw that Lot demonstrated that he was a righteous man. But 2 Peter makes it clear that Lot was a saint, right? Okay. 2 Peter 2, I think, verse 7 and 8. This is a saint. He's a weak saint and a compromising saint, but he's a saint nonetheless. And so he demonstrated that he was righteous and that he was the only one in that city that showed hospitality to these two angels, right? And he was the only one who was willing to defend these angels against this sexual assault that these homosexuals were wanting to bring against them. Right? You remember that? Saw that in verses 1, 2, and 3, and then verses 6 and 8. Here's something that I wanted to communicate that I think I probably have passed over in our past discussion. This point we've seen before, that homosexuality was pervasive and generational in Sodom, right? You see verse 4, behold, Genesis 19:4. But before they lay down, that is the angels, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man surrounded the house. Homosexuality was pervasive. It had taken over this city, right? And it's generational, right? Fathers are homosexuals, sons are homosexuals, and this is a awful catastrophe. But it has happened. Now, here's something that I want to say to Trinity, and even though I know we've got some members absent, I hope they will listen to this, because this is fundamental in our society today. God considers these homosexuals to be men. Okay? God considers homosexuals men. You see how verse 4 reads? But before they lay down the men of the city, the men of, and he repeats it, right? The men of Sodom, both young and old, and all the people to the last man surrounded the house. So it's God who considers homosexuals men. And so don't buy into the political correctness of saying that it's like being born in an ethnicity or in a certain race. No, this is behavior. This is learned behavior. Now, I admit, no one told us to lie, but lying is what? Is a sin. Amen. And that's what we have to learn about this behavior. My behavior in lying is, I can't say that that's because of my race. Right? And so you and I, if we're going to help people, we have to know what? The truth. Amen. Because otherwise, then there's no help. Mm-hmm. Right? Homosexuals, then you think about it. This whole movement really puts homosexuals in a position where they don't think there is no help. Amen. Amen. God says, yes, there is. Yeah. There's hope. There's help. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? We good? The last thing that I wanted to comment on with these two verses, because I think it's important, is that homosexuality is not satisfied until it completely dominates. Okay? Homosexuality wants to completely dominate a person. It doesn't want that person to have what? Any identity left. That person, from their perspective, they are lost. I am completely consumed. I have no other option but to be a homosexual. God, that's not true. Amen. Okay? It wants to completely dominate a family. Amen. It wants that family to feel like there's no hope. Okay? Homosexuality wants to dominate groups that are involved. Right? To conform groups into that way of thinking. Homosexuality wants to completely dominate. Look, it completely dominated a city here. Yeah. Yeah. Now, why did I say that? Now, you look at the verse. Now, I'm not making this up. Yeah, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old. How's the rest of it read? All the people to what? The last man. Yes, sir. The whole idea is that homosexuality dominates. Homosexuality says you need to be tolerant. Homosexuality isn't tolerant. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Homosexuality wants complete control. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it's clever. And you know that I'm not speaking crassly. What I'm saying is that if we're going to help anyone, you have to what? Know the truth. Paul said it this way in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 5. A little leaven, what? Leaven's the whole lump. That's the whole idea, is that if we can get this thing started, then we just begin to take over a home, neighborhood, a society. And that's the reason I'm saying to you, this is the number one issue in the world. It's going to destroy culture. When you no longer have marriage defined the way the Bible destroys it, society dies. Homosexuals cannot produce children. Okay? And again, you understand, well, I'm not being crass. It's just that if we're going to help people, we have to know the truth, right? God came down to deal with this issue because this city had let it get what? Completely out of control. We good? Then we notice that Lot was an ineffective godly leader in his family because of worldliness, unbelief, and fear. See that in verses 12 through 22. And I won't take you through all of those. We covered them last time. But you remember when the angel had to continue to urge Lot, get out of here. Yeah. Right? I'm about to destroy. What do you think about that? If God had sent angels to destroy, but why would they have to tell you, you need to get out? Yeah. That's because he's so worldly. Mm-hmm. He loves his position. He loves his stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, and now, fortunately, he was not of the world. Uh-huh. You understand? Which we're going to see, his wife was, but he was not. But he was worldly. Yeah. And that's something that we all need to guard against. That's one of the reasons he's ineffective, and he demonstrates unbelief and fear. Then lastly, we see that God was so merciful to Lot in protecting him. You'll remember what we saw a while ago when the... When these homosexuals, Lot went out to plead with these homosexuals. You remember that? They out in front of his house. He went out to plead with them. And they said, who are you? He's standing between us and what we want to do. Now, he's a leader. Now, they call him this man. Before, he was probably, whatever his name was, as an honorable leader. But now he becomes this man when you stand between me and what I want to do. Okay? They were about to harm him, and the angels had to what? Bring him in. So God was merciful in sparing his life and protecting him, and then in rescuing him finally. So you see in verse 6, look at verse 16. But he lingered, so the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. God was merciful to this brother, as weak as he was. And so what we've said is that we looked at these two big thoughts as we looked, hopefully last time this week, at what I call the consequences of compromise. The consequences of compromise were these two big thoughts of what we looked at. The compromising saint is rescued. We see that in verses 1 through 22. And then the compromising saint suffers loss, which we're going to spend a little time with today. That's in verses 23 through 38. So if you'll remember, 3 weeks ago, we looked at what I called a saint's true character. And so that's what I gave you a quick review of that just now, is that Lot was a true believer. Okay? His testimony was weak. His lifestyle had very little evidence, but he had been changed. He had been converted. So he was truly a child of God, but he was living in a miserable condition. I mean, his testimony, if you will, was miserable. There was very little evidence, except you see these angels show up, and inside him, God still has that light is burning, amen, right? Amen. And he knows he needs to be hospitable to these strangers, and he needs to protect them. Right. So we saw the saint's true character. But then the last thing we looked at 2 weeks ago was what I call this sad deliverance. And, you know, it really is sad, as I said before, to think that these angels are here to rescue him and he wants to hang around. He lingers. He procrastinates. And so the question I left you with 2 weeks ago is, think about that. What do you do when God makes his will known to you? Do you want to kind of take your time and do it? Do you have your own excuses and your own schedule, right? All of us needs to think about this. You know, it's easy to look at someone else's life and see their problem. But Lot was a saint just like you and I. But he didn't respond to God's will in a very prompt way. And we're going to see the consequences of that. And we're to learn from him so that we don't make the same mistake, right? Okay. So for us to summarize what we've looked at the past 2-3 weeks, as a believer, Lot was ineffective with his godly influence on people inside his family and outside his family. That's tragic. He was ineffective. He was a man of God, if you will. But he's so weak in his testimony and his witness that he couldn't affect people, even the people inside his family. Neither did he have, obviously he didn't have any impact then on those outside of his family. And why is that? Because he lived this compromising lifestyle. You cannot continue to backpedal and fly under the radar and think that you're going to affect anybody's life. The Bible clearly says you do not take a light or a lamp and what? Put it under a bushel. You've got to let your light shine in such a way that what? Men see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Right? Lot didn't do that. So, the thing we want to look at today then for the next few minutes is what I call the compromising saint suffers loss. We've seen how the compromising saint was rescued, but I want to show you that there is always, always, always loss when you live a compromising lifestyle as a Christian. Okay? Let's begin by looking at what I call the immediate loss. The immediate loss that Lot suffers. You got verse 23? Look at verse 23. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Now, the point is this. Zoar really represents a compromise in Lot's life. Why do I say that? You remember the verses that I read earlier. The angels told Lot the will of God. That was what? Escape to the hills. Remember that? And he says, oh, no, 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 I can't go to the hill. That's too far. And if I go, I might get killed along the way. Somebody's going to help me out, you know. Let me go to a city. Now, the city is what got him in trouble to begin with, right? Now, y'all need to follow this. But now, Zoar means little. Lot said, I know I can't. I know y'all need to get out of the big city. But I still don't want to go to the hills. I need to just stay in some kind of city. So he's not really ready to give up his sin. He wants to what? Hang on to a little bit of it. Y'all getting this? So it's another what? Compromise. God's will was for you to go to the hills. Get away from this thing. Like this thing is damaging your testimony. It's making you ineffective. But you still want to hang on to a little bit of it. You get this? And so when God wants us to make a clean break, we need to make a what? Clean break. When he says, let it go, God wants you to let it go. Okay? You all see this? Now, the next thing I want you to notice is the condition of Lot's wife. Now, you remember I told you before, Lot was in the world and worldly, but he was not of the world. That's not true of his wife. And this is the part of the reason I believe that Lot had so much trouble. He went down there and got him a unbelieving wife, which he knew he wasn't supposed to do. Okay? But now you look at what we're going to see here is that Lot's wife reveals her love for the world, both when God destroys her world and when God destroys her. You got verse 24? Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities. And what grew on the ground? But Lot's wife behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I know many of us read that when we were growing up in Sunday school. And yet this is reality. And we need to think about, what do I learn from this? What should I learn from this? And if those who are not familiar with the story, you need to know. You remember I read this early on. See verse 17. The angels were giving them instructions to escape. They gave them clear instructions, did they not? You see verse 17. And as they brought them out, one of the angels said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley." Right? Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. That was a clear word from God. When you leave here, don't look back. Again, this is that we as a lessons here. This is behind you. Looking back means you're not ready to let it go. Looking back means you got regrets. God says, when I get you, when I deliver you, let it go. Forget what lies behind. Reach forward to what lies ahead and press forward. Press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't look back. But it was still in her. She still loved the world and the things of the world. She was not ready. She was forced to get out. She had been moved out, but the world was not out of her. You get it? That's a serious problem. All that she did was reveal what was in her heart all along. And God wants us to see that sometimes when people come out of their sin and their mess, they haven't been set free. If you haven't come to Jesus, just because you stopped, we were talking about some things in the back today. Just because you stop heroin or stop this thing or that thing, just because they got you dry and clean, that doesn't mean you're free. Amen. You come off the street, so we've seen it all the time. The love of it is still in your heart. You may not be doing it, but if you still love it, the Bible says that people don't come to Jesus because they still love darkness more than light. Right? And so you see here this sad situation that Lot's wife loved the world more than the Lord, more than him, and more than her own daughters. She loved what she... Now she's here with the Lord, with her husband, and with her daughters. But she looked back indicating, I love that more than all this. We need to make sure we're telling people the truth. Even when what we talked about earlier, even when it comes to trying to help homosexuals, just getting the person to stop homosexuality doesn't mean deliverance. Amen. If they haven't come to the Lord, they haven't been set free. Uh-huh. But see, if you don't bring them the truth, if you make them think that this is just like... your racial ethnicity or some other thing, that you don't give any hope. You don't give any hope. It's no different than a person that stops smoking. If you don't replace it, the Bible never just says stop sinning. You stop doing wrong and you start doing what? Right. That's the gospel message. So deliverance from homosexuality is stopping, that's a behavioral problem. Stop doing that and start doing what? Right. You get this? So deliverance is always being brought out of darkness into light to know the truth. You'll know the truth, and what? The truth makes you free. The women years ago used to study, I don't remember, the topic was the liberty of obedience. Y'all remember that? And so it's the whole idea that you've been set free to obey God now. Right? So that's a lesson that we don't want to miss if we're going to help people. Make sure that you're giving them the gospel. The real help is in Jesus. He will set you free. It's not just the program. It's not I'm not taking you to another program, Alcoholic Anonymous, and I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that this is not a program. This is a relationship here. And He will set you free, right? Then you notice that Abraham observes and understands that God has faithfully answered his prayer. And this is amazing. Abraham is able to see that in God's judgment, he remembered mercy. You got to look at verse 27. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley. Now, we just saw judgment, but look at the rest of it. When God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. Abraham is able to observe God's judgment and his mercy. Just as Habakkuk would say, in judgment, remember mercy. And God did. God did. So what am I saying here? I want you to notice that why did I say that this saint has immediate losses? Let me just read verse 30 and then I'll show you why. You got verse 30? Look at it. And Lot went up to Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. Now, he said he wanted it, didn't he? But you see how fearful he is? I want to keep a little sin in my life, but I'm really afraid to do that. You see? But there he is. He's afraid to live in Zoar, so he lived in a cave with his two daughters. Now look at the loss that Lot has suffered. What do you think about it? What has he lost? Lost his sons-in-law, right? Lost his wife. Lost his home, lost his wealth, lost his career, his reputation, he lost his respect. Now he's living in a what? Cave with his two daughters. That's the reason I say that a saint suffers immediate loss. You cannot compromise and think it's going to be okay. Now, it's like I was saying to Trey and LaShawn. This lasted a long time for Lot. And it looked like things were going just fine for him. He's getting promoted. He's moving on up the ladder. He's in leadership. He's respected in the city. But he's losing his testimony. And he's not faithful to God. He is being promoted in the world. And he's not as concerned as he should be about his own soul. Okay? His losses were immediate. And then finally, I want you to see that his losses were also long term. It really gets really, really sad now. Lot's daughters make compromising decisions just like him. They make compromising decisions just like their father with no faith. Look at verse 31. And the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. That's sad. This is a believer. But when you've compromised that much and you lose your testimony even with your own children, if obeying God doesn't matter to father, you see? If our father could do all that he did and call himself a Christian, you see the dilemma here? And I want you to think about this. What kind of legacy did Lot leave? Lot left the legacy of immorality, incest, idolatry, and what I call two nations of heathens. That's his legacy. Now, what Christian wants that as your legacy? Right? Immorality, incest, idolatry, not just two heathen children, two nations, generations of heathens that come from a saintly father. Something's wrong with that. I didn't say a godly father, a saintly father. See, basically what you got here is a saint with very few good works. You remember, let's see, where is it? 1 Corinthians 3. Y'all ever read that? 1 Corinthians 3 talks about this scenario of us having to be handle our works being rewarded, okay? 1 Corinthians 3, I'm going to just begin reading at verse 12. "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day," this is the day of the Lord, the day of judgment, right, "will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. But this is Lot. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." That is tragic. You've lived your life in such a way that what you did didn't matter. Right? Our labor in Christ is not in vain. Right? "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work and the labor of the Lord, for your labor in Christ is not in vain." Lot didn't labor in Christ. His labor wasn't for the Lord. His labor was for the world. It's for progress. It's for money. It's for promotions. It's for notoriety. Trinity, are y'all listening to me?
Amen. Amen.
He was an important man in the world. But that doesn't matter. I mean, you and I, he's in heaven. He's in glory now. But his work, his life was wasted. This is what was said to me. I mean, I really had to think through this. His daughters, having been raised in that kind of perversion in Sodom, had no problem deciding to have incestual relationships with their father, because they've been raised in that kind of an environment. You see the problem here? I think parents need to beware the things we allow our children to be exposed to. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15. Bad company corrupts what? Good morals. Right? I didn't make that up. That's 1 Corinthians 15, what is it, 33. Bad company corrupts good morals. Parents, guardians, all of us, grandparents, those of us who can influence children, beware of the things that we allow them to get exposed to. The compromising worldly lifestyle of a believer results in immediate and long-term loss. Lot chose the allurement of prosperity and sin as a lifestyle for both him and his family. He became very wealthy, very influential in this sinful society, and he adopted their compromising lifestyle. This compromising lifestyle that Lot adopted made him a weak, ineffective witness for the Lord, right? And it left a legacy of ruined lives and lost souls. His losses were massive. He lost fellowship and intimacy with God. He lost his wife. He lost his sons-in-law. He lost respect. He lost decency from his daughters. He lost reputation. He lost wealth. He lost his home. He lost citizenship. And the list could go on. It's nothing but tragic, massive losses. Compromise cannot, it cannot advance you. My brother, my sister, not in the kingdom of God. It may advance you in the world, but it will not advance you in the kingdom of God. Why? You might wonder why I've taken so much time on this point. I believe that every Christian needs to think about this. Some job moves are not good for you. You see, Lot went after that which was had a promising career to him. Abraham says, choose what you want. Well, you remember when they split? Abraham says, choose what you want to. He looked down and saw all of the attractive nature of Sodom with his wealth and his power, and his, it was attractive to him. Some job movements are not good for us, as attractive as they may be. They may not be healthy for us in our godly growth. Some relocations. We need to think about where we're planning to move our family. Because we have perceived this is something I want. That's the issue. Is it something that God wants? Right? Some places of education are not good, though they may be prestigious. Don't we know this? Princeton used to be a university of training preachers. Not anymore. And I mean, you could go right on the list. So we have to think about all these kinds of movements that we make, right? Entertainment that we, choices that we make. And you know the whole thing. So I just would say this as we close. Remember that this is the second time that God's judgment has been poured out in the book of Genesis, all right? Genesis 6, when he destroyed the world because every thought of the intention of man was what? Only evil continually. And now he destroys a city because every man, every male in it has been perverted by homosexuality. And people that think that that our society is just going to get away, just because we're in this intellectual thing and you backwards and you narrow-minded and, you know, I mean, they thought the same thing of Noah. And I'm sure in this perspective, Abraham, Lot probably thought Abraham was narrow-minded, not progressive enough. Well, look at what progressiveness got Lot. You following this, Christian? My beloved brothers and sisters, what can we learn? Even though the righteous are not destroyed, the consequences of a compromising worldly lifestyle are far greater than it may appear initially. You see, Lot got out. But what did he get out with? The allurement and temptation of sin convinces the victim that sin is worth any and all consequences. That's not true. But as believers, with our renewed minds and with our eyes, the eyes of our hearts enlightened, we know that a compromising lifestyle can never have a good outcome. It can't happen. It just cannot happen, regardless of how good they say the opportunity is. If it means I've got to compromise, there can be no good to come out of it. In the kingdom, you may help me to buy a bigger car and a bigger house and this and that. Well, Lot had all that, but he lost. His losses were way more massive than that. To end up living in a cave with your two daughters who can think of nothing but incest? Come on. Was it worth it? Christ died to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Right? The Holy Spirit has delivered us from the slavish power of sin. And soon we'll be delivered from the very presence. So we must resist the devil, right? And what the Bible says, he will flee. Resist him and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. Submit yourself to God. Submit to the love of Christ. Submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and you will be delivered. Live holy. Love holy. Worship holy. Serve holy. Work holy. For our God is holy, and we should be holy, right? Yes. Remember that the prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. James 5:16. So what am I saying? Intercede with hope, just as Abraham did. I'm sure many of us know people caught up in this same situation. It's not hopeless. You understand what I'm saying? It's not hopeless. Jesus Christ came to what? Seek and what? Save the lost. The homosexuals are lost. Don't let society tell you that they're trapped. Whatever this, I was trapped. You were trapped. But Jesus came to set the captive what? Free. He can set them free. And we are to be ambassadors, taking that hope, not joining in with the mass deception, right? We're not to be like Lot, just to be socially acceptable. We're to bring hope, even if they kill us. That's what they did for Jesus. He said that if they've done that to the teacher, should the student expect what? Better? Right? Come on, Americans. Do we love our 401ks and our medical plans and our houses and cars so much that we aren't? Are we like Lot's wife? We can't let it go when it comes to standing for Christ. Even if it doesn't happen in our generation, I assure you it's coming in America. You're going to have to stand. It'd be a sad thing to see many weak Christians who've been so wonderfully affluent in churches come out of that situation like Lot, realizing that you were just a worldly Christian. Infants, Paul called them, babes in Christ. You should have been maturing. But you've been listening to Oprah too much and Dr. Phil and all these professionals rather than listening to God. And if you're not a Christian, you can be holy too. God can save you today, right? He can save you. Whoever's listening to me, if you're a homosexual, God can save you today. You can be saved. You can be set free. You can be delivered. There's hope for you. He's done it before. He can do it again. Read the little letter to the Corinthians. There were homosexuals listed above those who were church members. He said, you were, but you've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been sanctified. Yes, He can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. But you must believe. You must believe. You must believe in Jesus. Homosexuality is not any greater sin than any other sin, but you cannot be set free unless you believe. You got to believe Jesus, not the psychology book. Believe Jesus. Father, I thank you for these few minutes that we had together on this difficult subject, and I pray that I've handled it with accuracy and with your love and with truth. I pray, Father, I pray for anyone caught in this deceptive lifestyle. I pray, as we heard earlier today, that they'll hear the voice of the shepherd calling. And I know that any among the elect that's caught in homosexuality, they will hear your voice. And they will come to you. And so we have hope, but you have sent us out as ambassadors of truth and light and love. And so help us to represent you, Father. Help us to represent Christ in this dark and twisted world. Save today. And help us, Lord, to learn from Lot, not to cower away from difficult situations in our society. Help us not to be tempted to just blend in. Help us to stand. And when we've done all that we can do to stand on anyway, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for loving us, nurturing us, and helping us along the way until we finally see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.